There's a word in John chapter 4 that I must preach to you today. John chapter 4, you would do well to read this entire chapter. Allow me to pick at it. We will start at verse 7. Jesus has been out ministering, doing battle with Pharisees. The disciples are gone away. And here he is, fatigued by ministry, but a woman comes for water. Verse 7, John 4, verse 7 says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Now I want to skip down to verse 28. And you would do well to know that in that gap, the Lord has told this woman that, I know you've had five husbands already. Wow, five husbands already. I don't know what happened to those five husbands. Did they die? Did they leave her? Did she leave them? I don't know what happened to those five husbands, but that's still a big number. And I've read this a number of times. Five husbands, that's still a lot of husbands, y'all. And then she is with a man now who's not her husband. She's with a man now. She's sleeping with him. They plan house, but they're not married. Jesus goes on and talks about the matter of true worshipers worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And then finally in verses 28 through 30, Jesus just blows this woman's mind with his prophetic ability. I know he blew her mind because listen to how verse 28 starts. It says, then leaving her water jar. Now she went to the well to get water. Jesus done put so much stuff on her mind that she done left the water jar at the well. But you know, the Lord will do stuff like that. Here, change your whole agenda. The woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? That's a question. They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Then you see the disciples querying him about food, and it goes on in verse 41, it says, and because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. As a fuel for this Bring a Friend Sunday that's coming up, I've entitled this message, One Person's Ministry. One Person's Ministry. Here we see Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman in public alone. It's almost taboo in that culture. But the master reaches beyond what people have declared taboo, and he ministers to this woman. This woman takes her experience with Jesus and begins to engage in her own ministry of witnessing. She does not do an impressive presentation about Jesus, but she tells what she knows to be true. And the result of this woman's ministry after encountering the master is the maturity of other people. For the people that the woman talked to started off believing Jesus because of what the woman said. but they matured to believe Jesus because of their personal encounter and relationship with him. When I look at that and look at this Bring a Friend Sunday that's sneaking up on us, I want to remind us that we should be mindful of the master, ministry, and maturity. The master, ministry, and maturity. The master is our first concern. Y'all do know that Jesus is the master. We are the servants. He is in charge. He sets the example for us. There are several reasons that Jesus could have been excused from even saying good morning to this woman. First of all, she was a woman in a culture that was designed for men to rule and women to serve. It was very strange for a man to have conversation with a woman in public, especially one-on-one. A second thing that Jesus could have used to ignore her was the ethnicity gap. Jesus was a Jew. This woman was a Samaritan. A Samaritan in our culture would be like a mulatto. A more pejorative, derogatory term would be a half-breed. She was the product of a Jew and Gentile relationship. She had enough Jewish blood in her to be more than just a Gentile, but she had enough Gentile blood in her that the Jews didn't want to treat her as a pure Jew. She was between the musical chairs of ethnicity. Then there was a spiritual gap, for this woman had sin in her life. I don't know what happened to those five husbands before her. Maybe it was legitimate. Maybe they were brothers and they died and they were trying to keep the bloodline going. I'm not sure what happened with those five, but I do know it's wrong for you to be playing house with somebody that's not your spouse. It's wrong to be playing house with somebody who's not your spouse. It's wrong for you to be going home, laying up in bed with somebody who's not your husband, not your wife. Mm-hmm. But the master looked past all of the things he could have used to keep his distance. He looked past all of that and reached out and touched this woman anyhow. And believers, there are people in our lives who we are tempted to stay away from for any number of reasons. There are drunks in most of our families. There are crackheads in most of our families. There are homosexuals in most of our families. There are some poor folk in most of our family that we are tempted to try to avoid. Whites and Hispanics, our young people, some can look so hard and so disrespectful that we are tempted to have no contact with them. But the master of our text lifts for us a model of reaching out and touching those whose society and the norms and mores of the day suggests we ought to leave alone. And what I'm suggesting to you is that even if you don't love people enough, you ought to love God enough to reach out and touch somebody. Because just think about how not only could Jesus have ignored this Samaritan woman, but think about how nobody would have blamed Jesus for ignoring us. All of us have sinned. And all of us are sinning. And if we wake up in the morning, all of us will sin. We are addicted to sin. But yet God loves us enough to reach out and touch us anyhow. The Reverend Dr. Derek Miles would say he reached beyond our sheets and ministered to us anyhow. And because Jesus loves us and all of humanity for that matter, all of humanity for that matter, it is incumbent upon us to be like our master and learn how to reach beyond what divides us and touch those who need a touch from the Lord. Have you not heard? We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We've not been saved just to come sit up in here and try to out-church one another. But God has saved us in spite of us so that he can use us in ministry. Are y'all still with me? So I've talked about the master's ability to look beyond what's wrong in us and touch us anyhow. Now I want to say something about ministry. This woman had a ministry of witnessing. Witnessing is telling what you know to be true. When you get called to a witness stand and they ask you questions, they don't want you talking about no hearsay, she said, he said stuff. They want you to tell what you know to be true. Did you see anything? If you didn't see anything, you are dismissed. You don't know anything to be true. The witness job is to tell what you know to be true. This woman went back home and told her hometown people, you need to come see this man. This man has told me everything about my life. Now, she would flunk theology. She would not have passed evaluation and training union. There's no four-point plan here. In fact, she's not even emphatic about him being the Christ. She raises the question, is this the Christ? I don't know if he's the Christ. I don't know if he's the Messiah. What I do know is he has a mysterious, unexplainable knowledge about everything that I have done. He has pricked my spiritual curiosity. And I wanted to come out here and invite my home folk to meet this Jesus. She went and told what she knew to be true. And I say to us, as we get ready for this Bring a Friend Sunday, we ought to work on being witnesses. If you can't preach like Peter, if you can't pray like Paul, if you can't sing like Bev and them, you ought to at least be able to witness. You ought to be able to tell what you know to be true. You ought to have a story to tell. Now, it may not be a fancy story. You might not have 50 verses of scripture that you can quote. You might not have those big, long, polysyllable words at the tip of your tongue, but you ought to be able to tell somebody that the Lord is real in my life. You ought to be able to tell somebody that the Lord is making a difference in my life. Now, you know, some of us were born and raised in the church. Whatever dirt we did that throughout the week because on Sunday we was back in church. The danger of being born and raised in church is you really sometimes have problems pinpointing your salvific experience. But you don't know when the day and when the hour and when the date was because you always been in church. And if you got baptized early in life, you're really confused because you remember when you was baptized, but you don't necessarily remember when you accepted Jesus as Savior. And so you may not have a fancy testimony. You've heard them. People talked about it. I was drunk out in the street, and I heard the voice of the Lord call me, Leroy, you better get yourself together. And I said, yes, Lord, here is Leroy. And they heard light. They saw lightning flashing. They heard thunder rolling. They got a real fancy testimony. And you look at your story, and it ain't fancy. It ain't no lightning. There's no thunder roaring. You ain't see no handwriting on the wall. You ain't get no big mysterious dream. You ain't hear, feel nothing burning on the inside. You looked at your feet. They looked about the same way they looked before. And so you're a little confused, but you ought to at least be able to tell somebody, it may not be fancy, but it works for me. It may not be like anybody else's testimony, but I can at least tell you this, the Lord is real in my life. It's not a plaything. It's not a plaything that when I get down and out, I got somebody who can pick me up, dust me off, put me back on my path. You ought to have a story to tell. You ought to be able to tell somebody, I got more peace of mind now than I've ever had on my journey. That I remember when, if these things were going on in my life, I would have been cussing and fussing and drinking and drugging and doing some of everything. But because God is real in my life, I got some peace that goes beyond all understanding. You ought to have a story to tell. You ought to be able to tell somebody, I got some joy in my life. And I know it's joy because bad things are happening in my life. So it can't be happiness because I have no happenings to justify happiness. So this smile on my face is not a happy smile. It's a joyful smile. And it's Jesus' joy. It's not money joy because I'm broke. It's not health joy because I'm hurting. It's not relational joy because I don't know what's wrong with my kids. It must be Jesus' joy. You ought to have a story to tell. You ought to be able to tell somebody, I got some hope. I got some hope. I got hope that somehow and some way, God has not brought me through all. He has brought me through just to leave me now. I believe that God has better days ahead. And that's why I don't have to give up. That's why I don't have to throw in the towel, because my testimony is he gives me hope beyond what I can see. If you don't have a story, you might not have a savior. I said, if you don't have a story, you might not have a savior. Everybody who got the savior got a story. If you don't have a story, you might want to go back and make sure you got the Savior. If you got the Savior, you ought to be able to tell a story about what the Savior is doing in your life. Now, it'd be marvelous if everybody would believe our story. I'm glad they showed up for this lady in the text. But you know and I know everybody who hear the story ain't gonna come and hear about Jesus. But you ought to tell the story anyhow. If you tell the story, God will bless you for being obedient. If you tell the story and folk don't want to hear the story, that's on them. But at least you did what the Lord told you to do. You told the story. Y'all still here? So I talked about them, the master and ministry. I'm closing now. Maturity is the last matter of the text. The people of the town followed the woman to see who is this Jesus fellow. When they went there initially because of the woman's ministry. But they stayed there because of their experience with Jesus. They came because somebody they knew invited them, brought them to Jesus. But they stayed because they matured to have their own relationship with him. And you know that's what witnessing, Bring a Friend Sunday, Each Reach One, is all about. That it is aware that babies need their parents. But the hope of every baby is that they will grow up and become an adult. In other words, There be people that we minister to, and we are their Bible. We're the only Bible they're going to read. You are their preacher. They ain't thinking about me. You are their preacher. They ain't coming to hear no choir. You are the choir. You are what they know about church. Your job is to help them mature in the Lord, where they don't have to depend on you, but they can have a direct line to the Lord. And now that means you have to be strong enough to move your ego out of the way. Because there are too many of us who like to play Messiah. We like being God. We like being necessary. We like them to ask us all of the questions, and we have all of the answers. But maturity calls for us getting out of the way so that they can get hooked up with Jesus. You ought to work yourself out of the job of being the mediator. They need a personal relationship with the Lord. And listen, it's going to be better when we all grow up. Whenever the church is full of people who follow people instead of follow Jesus, you have nothing but a big child care center. Yeah. Whenever church is full of people who follow people instead of follow Jesus, it's nothing but a child care center. It's a bunch of 2 and 3 year olds fussing and arguing about who gonna play with the blocks and stop pulling her hair, stop kicking him, keep your hands to yourself, stand in line, stop hollering, stop crying, stop making fun of people. That's the norm of an immature church. But when folk grow up in Jesus, you can come to church and have a refuge in the time of storm. When folk grow up, you can come and enjoy the presence of the Lord, and you don't have to be tough in front of everybody, but you can become vulnerable in the presence of the Lord. That's what happens when we grow up. But when we are babies, church is about trying to out-church one another. Babies come to church trying to out-dress one another. Babies come to church talking about, where's my seat? Babies come to church always wanting their way. Babies are so egocentric. They think they are the center of the world. But when you grow up, church becomes a place where love covers a multitude of sin. So then, as I get ready to come in here, I remind us that we ought to aim to not only witness and bring people to church, but our job is not finished until they become mature in Jesus. And I think I ought to tell you, it's going to be hard for you to help them be mature if you're not mature. And one of the measures of maturity is how tight your relationship is with the Lord. And a test of the strength of your bond with Jesus is how do you handle it when people let you down? You know, when you don't know the Lord, you only know the person who introduced you to the Lord. Whenever that person who introduced you to the Lord falls short of your expectation, the baby says, I quit. I give up. I'm throwing in the towel. But when you sure enough know Jesus, no matter how disappointed, no matter how distracted, no matter how despondent you may be by the failures of others, after you've tasted the Lord, can't nobody take the taste out of your mouth. Somebody ought to help me here. Ain't no way in the world you're gonna give up on the way maker because some human being has fallen short. Ain't no way in the world you're going to throw in the towel on he who is living water and living bread because human beings have let you down. Many of us have heard about the accusations against Bishop Eddie Long, and I personally pray that is not true. Nothing good can come out of it being true. I hope it's not true. If it's true, it's going to hurt him. It's going to hurt his people. It hurts the whole church. I have nothing to benefit by it being true. I hope that the rumors are wrong. But if by chance the rumors are right, the preacher telling you today that God is still good. You ought not let what goes wrong in a human being's life stop you from being in relationship with the Lord. A measure of your maturity is, can you stay with the Lord even when people let you down? There are people who go to church as long as the preacher act like he's right next to God. And so you push the preacher up on this pedestal and you want him to be God Junior. But I think I ought to remind you that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not even one. Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. All of your hope better be in Jesus. Whenever you put your hope in any man or in any woman, you're putting your hope in sinking sand. How silly, how irrational to build on sand when you got a rock sitting right here. Why would you build on a man when you can build on the man? Why would you put all of your hope in a son of another man when you can put your hope in the Son of the living God? It just don't make any sense, I tell you. It don't make sense to build your hope on the preacher. You ought to hear what the preacher has to say about God. But your hope better be in God. Well, I come in when I tell you the Bring a Friend Sunday is sneaking up on us. And somebody sitting right here need to remember what the Master has done in your life. And you ought to engage in the ministry of witnessing. There's somebody in your life that's not even thinking about coming to church. But if you would just go and plant a seed, if you would just go and tell the story, you'd be surprised how the Lord can soften a hard heart. You'd be surprised how, even though they said no last time and don't come back no more, you'd be surprised how this time can be different. You see, the Lord has a way of providing the increase. You remember that one man sows and another one waters, but it is the Holy Spirit who provides the increase. And what I'm asking you to do is to go back and sow some seed. There's somebody in your circle of influence who really need to meet the Master. They really need to understand that God can look past all of their sins and bless them anyhow. There's somebody in your circle of influence who needs to hear that the Master can look past all of the sin and iniquities in our lives and lift us to a higher level. There's somebody who thinks that they cannot do any better than they are doing. There's somebody in a bad relationship that think they have no way out. There's somebody strung out on drugs that think that drugs are the best thing in the world. But if you tell your story, the Lord might use your story to help them see that he's able to do abundantly, exceedingly, over and beyond whatsoever you ask and whatsoever you think. Somebody needs to hear your story that the Lord is able to save to the utmost. The Lord is able to put joy where sorrow used to be. He's able to give you peace where anxiety used to reside. He's able to give you joy where depression used to hang out. Did you hear me? He's able to give you purpose, yes, where aimlessness used to reside. The Lord is able to fill in the gaps of your life. Did you hear me? I believe I told you before, but let me tell you again. We have been made in such a way that there will always be something missing in our lives until we get right with the Lord. Did you hear me? There is a hole that cannot be filled. There is a thirst that cannot be quenched. There is a hunger in our heart that cannot be satisfied with the things of this world. Now you can go ahead on and buy your fancy car, but that car won't fill the hole. Did you hear me? You might go head on and have a beautiful house. Nothing wrong with the house, other than it can't quench your thirst. Did you hear me? You look good. You got on a fine set of clothes, but haven't you found out your clothes will not satisfy the hunger of your soul? Yes, my Lord, can't nobody do you like the Lord. Yes, my Lord, it's better to be broke with Jesus and to be rich without the Lord. Yes, my Lord, somebody here can testify that as long as I got Jesus, I can make it a little way longer. Yes, my Lord, but every year, people that got big money in both pockets blow their own brains out because money didn't fill the hole. Did you hear me? There are people who do all kinds of great things in their life, but if you don't have Jesus, yes, there is a haunting emptiness in your spirit. You can drink all you want, but you won't feel the hole. You can snort all you want, but it won't feel the hole. You can smoke all you want, but haven't you learned it won't feel the hole? Can't nobody do you like the Lord. So please, 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 please y'all join me in praying about the Bring a Friend Sunday. Somebody needs Jesus. Somebody needs the Lord. And they won't come unless somebody they know go back and tell them. Tell your story. Did you hear me? I'm so glad somebody told me the story. Lord have mercy. I'm so glad since an early child I've been hearing about the story. But it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. The story never gets old. The story never loses its power. I'm so glad somebody told me that this Jesus, he loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Y'all remember? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible, for the Bible, for the Bible tells me so. Isn't that good news? When I get old and feeble, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Lord have mercy. When I have to lay down and die, I don't have to worry, children. Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. Isn't it good news to know that Jesus loves you? Don't fool yourself. Everybody who says I love you, they really don't love you. But Jesus, you can count on his love. Jesus got long grace and long mercy. There are people in your life who will sing your praises all the day long, as long as you live up to their expectation. But if they knew the real you, they'd drop you on today. But what I love about my Lord is he knows all about me. He knows all about my sin. He knows all about my shortcomings. He knows all about the real me. And he still keeps on loving me. Ain't God all right? He keeps on loving me. And if you think that's something, he got some more love. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He got some love for your nephew. He got some love for your niece. He got some love for your neighbor. He got some love for your co-worker. He got some love for your siblings. He got some love for your children. Ain't God all right? Have you tried him? Have you tried him? Don't fool me now. Won't he make a way? Won't he make a way? Won't he make make a way out of no way. Help me say yes, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. He may not come when you want him to come, but if you wait on him, he'll show up. He'll show up. He'll show up. He'll show up at the right time with the right stuff. Any all right? Any all right? Yeah, yeah. You can trust him. You can trust him. The Lord will make a way somehow if you line up with his word. Before you know it, the Bring a Friend Sunday will be here. Will you have told your story? Will you have told what you know to be true? Or will you hide behind, well, I don't know all of those verses. I don't know how to say it the way y'all say it. Baby, just go tell your story. Can't nobody tell your story like you. Tell your story. The Lord can take your story, add his favor and his grace, and lead a whole town to meet Jesus. One woman with no training led a whole city to meet Jesus. What's your excuse? There's somebody that you need to go tell your story to and pray that God will provide the increase. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day to come on over on the Lord's side. The invitation to accept Christ, to join or be reinstated in the church, is extended to you right now. If you know you need to get your business fixed with God, why don't you come now? No matter what's wrong with you, God loves you and want to do marvelous things in your life. When God looks at you, he sees so much more than sin, problems, mistakes, bad decisions. When he looks at you, he sees somebody who's been fearfully, wonderfully made in the image of God. You really don't have to leave here without the Lord in your life. If you're here, you really ought to come now. My brother, my sister, it's time to stop playing church. It's time to just step out and come on and get it fixed today. Would you come? Today is a marvelous day to get right with God. Just step out in the aisle and make your way. God really loves you. 10,000 blessings with your name on it. Still in the wrapper. You ought to come and make this move today. I know you think, well, maybe next week, preacher. What I'm trying to tell you is next week is not promised. This may be the last chance you get to say, yes, Lord. Last chance, get yourself in church. Why don't you come now? Why don't you come now? My sister, you're so close. You're so close. But yet so far, it don't make sense to be in church this long and then leave empty-handed, same way you came.